We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Robbie Hummel, here we go. I don't know. We'll see as this thing populates and get some people in here. Talk some last night. We'll see if this works here. And it does. Look, it, I did it correctly. I'm so good at technology, Rob.
There you go.
As you can tell.
I'm improving here.
We'll start to see some people trickle in, and we can talk a little bit about talk about that doubleheader last night that wasn't at the same spot. But, man, it was not good offensive basketball, Rob. That's one thing we can say about both those games. It was, you know, they just looked young all the way around. Michigan State not as young, obviously. But in the first 4 minutes, we were like, man, Michigan State might get blown out. And then it just completely flipped.
I texted you, you know, what, 10 minutes into the game? And it was like, man, Michigan State – they really don't have a point guard. They're missing Cash Winston. It did not look good. But I think that you made a really good point when we were talking about Wisconsin, whether it was last week or 2 weeks ago, about experience. And both of those games last night, the more experienced teams – now, Kansas isn't like ultra experienced, but they have guys – Marcus Garrett is a guy that's played a lot of basketball. Ochai Agbaji has been through it, certainly. David McCormick, who – played probably about as poorly as he could have.
He's terrible every game. He's been awful, and I've been hyping him up, and he has been awful.
Well, we got to even you out. You make a good call about the experience, and then you've been hyping McCormick. So.
I'm bad about 50%.
So. Exactly. That's about your average. So, but at the end of the day, experience played out, and experience won those games. And that's totally true on the offensive end of the floor, because honestly, all four of those teams defensively are pretty good. Kentucky.
Really good.
They're going to really guard you. And Isaiah Jackson.
That length, Rob.
Hey, how about you? And I know Olivier Sarr got in the game at the end.
Yeah.
But Isaiah Jackson was playing the majority of the minutes in the second half. And they played him together a little bit. But
that's the bright spot, isn't it?
Yeah, the bright spot
was Isaiah Jackson.
He definitely is the bright spot. But to finish my thought, experience won these two games. And it definitely showed in the offensive end of the floor. Because those two young teams, Kentucky and Duke, They got some work to do on the offensive end of the floor.
I'll tell you what. Point again, freshman point guards, right? Duke and Kentucky. Jeremy Roach, Devin Askew are both solid, but they certainly didn't look spectacular. I mean, honestly, they didn't even look like guys that were ranked in the top 25 coming out of high school. They both look lost. They haven't really made their teammates better. They haven't been all that assertive on the offensive end for themselves. I love Devin Askew coming out of high school. Loved him. But I think the problem is you've got Devin Askew and Jeremy Roach leading a team, both of them, leading teams in which there's nothing established. There's nobody that you're going to give the ball to that's going to be like, all right, I've been there. I've really done that. Give me the ball, and I'm going to go make a play. There's nobody like that on either team.
Yeah, and I think that you have to talk about how hard it is for a freshman to come in and run a team. As the point guard, you're the floor general, and you have got to come in here, assert your personality, assert your game, and that's a good point. Like, you're not coming in with Zion Williamson. This isn't a situation where you've got guys or even veterans who have played a lot of basketball, and it's very apparent. I thought Duke's guards really struggled. Now, DJ Stewart, he's a Chicago kid, so I've seen him a little bit. Man, he just, I don't want to say he didn't look ready for that stage. I know he played pretty well against Coppin State, had some pretty good numbers, but he just looks so skinny. He looks so small, which is crazy because he's a highly recruited guy. And it's a hard position to come into. It's like being a quarterback and coming in as a freshman and like dominating the position. You don't see that very much. And when you do, he's probably throwing to guys that are going to the NFL, and he's probably got an offensive line who's going to be able to protect him. And right now, those guys, they don't have that. So it's going to be interesting to see how those two teams, Kentucky and Duke, kind of grow from this.
So let me go on to Michigan State. You're a Big Ten guy. You're watching it last night from Big Ten Studio. To me, were you Big Ten Studio? You were. You were in there. For some reason, I thought you were home for a second. But now I remembered you. Your big mug. Your big mug last night. It was scary. Michigan State. To me, again, good win, no doubt. You got Duke at the right time. They're young. You're older. But I still have major concerns that this team, I don't think they're a national title winning type team. Can they get to the Final Four? Absolutely. It's Tom friggin' Izzo. No doubt. But to me, their point guard situation, Foster Lawyer is a good backup, and I'm not even sure he's really a point. Kind of a two-ish.
Undersized shooting guard
is what he is. Yeah, he really is, and he is undersized. I mean, I thought first time I saw him, I really did think he was a manager. I did. I mean, he looks like 12. He's really small. Like
when he saw you, he thought that you were a hacker blogger or something.
He's got me right. I got him wrong. He's got the scholarship and playing minutes at Michigan State for Tom Izzo. So all the power to him. And I like Foster Lawyer as a backup. And I like Rocket Watts as a two guard. And there goes the question of why didn't they have somebody to step in to replace Cassius Winston? They knew he was gone.
Yeah. I mean, you would have thought that he might have been gone the year before. Right. So that certainly is a question you can ask. I want to talk about, I saw where Tom Izzo said there's no asterisk next to the win. And I agree, like everybody's dealing with this.
Sure.
But at the end of the
Cameron crazies.
That is not the same Cameron Indoor that we've seen for the last 50 years, or not 50 years, but really since Mike Krzyzewski took over.
Yeah.
That's not the same.
Now give him credit though, Rob. They didn't play at Duke. They didn't have to play at Duke. They could have tried to play at like a neutral site somewhere else. Part of the reason, from what I was told, they didn't play in Indy was because they weren't comfortable that Kansas and Kentucky were going to be in the same arena as them because totally different protocols in the Big Ten and the ACC from obviously we've seen in the SEC. And I'd love to get your take on the Gonzaga-Auburn thing before we get down. We'll circle back to that later. There's no asterisk next to it, really, but – again, you don't have the biggest home court advantages to me are Duke and Kansas. And when you don't have that, it's different.
I think that's a really good litmus test for kind of what we're going to see this year. It's not going to be the same. It's not going to be a deal where you see these overwhelming because Duke does. I would love this. I don't know if there's any way to do this, but I would love to see exactly how many points that generates for Duke. Or for Kansas, or
gotta be three or four.
I think it's more than that. I think it's a 10-point, 15-point type deal. Where, because I think that the calls, I think referees, not by any fault of their own, but the home team usually gets more calls. And I do think that, especially when you're playing young teams, there's guys that get totally overwhelmed by the moment and get totally overwhelmed by the atmosphere. You know, I had a teammate in college that we were playing at Michigan State, and in warmups, he had to stop. He got an air ball, and they were crushing him. Like, they were literally crushing him.
You can throw Chris Kramer out there.
It's not Chris Kramer. It's Aaron Warner. He wouldn't let that
pop. I know. That's why I mentioned him.
He was, like, popping his collar to the student. Like, he was embracing that fully. This was a guy who didn't play. One of the funniest people ever, but like they were riding him and he literally just went and sat down. And then the next year he didn't warm up.
Now he was couldn't handle it.
He was like, why should I? I'm not going to play in the game.
Wow.
He was never going to play in the game. And it was one of those deals where it was like, why should I go out here and subject myself to this? So, like, I know it affects people. And I do think that it's not an asterisk, but it's certainly – it's not the same. But that's what we're dealing with. So Michigan State had to go in there and play well, which they did. As for the point guard position, it's going to be by committee. Like, that's what it's going to have to be. Rocket Watts, like you said, is not a point guard, but he's a gamer. Like, he's going to rise to the moment.
Yep.
And I think he showed that last time. I think Aaron Henry, who plays the three for them, will slide over, and he can bring the ball up. He's kind of like a Swiss Army knife anyway.
Yeah, he made some plays. He actually was great with the ball in his hand.
It's funny because Coach Izzo traditionally has kind of crushed him. Like, he's really gotten after him and expected more from him. And last night he was very complimentary. So maybe Aaron Henry is going to turn on the page, and Coach Izzo's he's not in the doghouse anymore, which is good for him.
Or maybe it's
Rob. He lived in the doghouse before.
The kinder, gentler Tom Izzo through the pandemic. He just got COVID, got over COVID. Maybe Izzo's mellowing a little bit. Who knows? For now.
Yeah, he still gets after those dudes pretty good. There's one coach in college basketball that yells at his guys as much as anybody. It is Tom Izzo.
No doubt. So, yeah, Michigan State, like, again, do you think – they are a national title contender. I know we haven't seen everybody yet, but I've seen team. To me, Rob, I start with this. When I look at a team that can win six straight, I start with a point guard spot.
Yeah,
honestly,
it's a tournament. And the NCAA tournament,
right?
No question.
And I cross it right out. Like, to me, and maybe it's too early, but I start right away, and I'm like, you know what? If you don't have a high level point guard, I don't know if you can. If you can win six straight, and you know, Marcus Garrett, and we'll move on to him in a minute. We'll move on to Kansas. Like, I don't think he's the highest level point guard, but man, he's a great defender at least.
He's a winning player.
Correct.
He does everything that you would ask a guy to help you win games. And I thought that offensively he was more aggressive. Think about Marcus Garrett his freshman year, and he was a highly recruited kid. Like, there's no doubt. Like, people wanted him out of Dallas.
Yep.
People weren't guarding him. And they had Devontae Graham. They had studs. Like, so people were worried about other people. But to not be guarded, you know, last night he was a threat. I want to say he made a three, made a step back, was getting to the basket. But, dude, he's just a winner.
Under the weather.
He's been sick. Which, by the way, when they said that, it's like, it's such a weird time to be sick.
Well, what do you do? Like, I had people. I called them out and I said, hey, what a gutsy performance from Marcus Garrett. And I had a bunch of Kentucky fans saying, well, he shouldn't have played. He was sick. Shouldn't have played. And it's like, what do you do with those situations? I think somebody said he tested negative twice before the game.
Yeah.
So flu-like symptoms. Are you going to shut down everybody who's got a stomach ache? And, I mean, he looked like crap by the end of the game. Don't get me wrong. He did.
Yeah. No, that's definitely true. I don't know. I don't know how you handle that. I don't know what you're supposed to do. I guess what Kansas did, test them. And if they're negative, then they play. And they're not
have to play.
Yeah, exactly. I thought with Kansas, Jalen Wilson's a stud. And
I didn't know that.
I didn't. Who did? I mean, he was committed to Michigan and then ends up decommitting going to Kansas. Clearly, Bill Self did since he recruited.
Well, it's funny. They liked him a lot, but I think he got hurt early last year. I remember them saying to me before last year's Champions Classic, I think he warmed up in that game and maybe played a little bit. I don't really remember. He didn't make an impact. And I remember them telling me, the kid knows how to play, but he's not very athletic. And I actually thought he was more athletic last night.
What changed the game is Isaiah Jackson is blocking everything. Guards coming in. He was making it tough for him to score over the top, especially when Jalen Wilson would drive him. But those threes he made, you could tell he was feeling it. He took a heat check after he made two, but he changed the game. I mean, he really kept them afloat when Kansas could not score. And that was game changing to see him play like that. He was the difference in the game, I thought. The crazy thing to me was that when watching the first half this afternoon, and I couldn't watch it because I was watching Nebraska last night, it felt like in the first half, like Kansas was up like five or six. I kept feeling, I was like, Kentucky's been so bad offensively. And I look at the score, and they're up like, you know, 8 or 9. And that's a credit to Kentucky's defense. But offensively, man, Terrence Clark, B.J. Boston, those guys, they're having a hard time making perimeter shots. And that's the understatement of maybe the year. The floor is compact. That the help defense is going to be, I mean, especially those guys get scouted more, and it really feels like Brandon Boston wants to go right about 95% of the time.
Every time.
They are going to sit on his right hand so hard. And that's going to be scouting as that comes. That's going to happen. There's no doubt that's going to happen.
0 for 10 against Richmond from 3. 3 for 21 last night against Kansas from 3. Rob, why the hell doesn't John Calipari just go find the best damn spot-up shooter in the country every single year? Like, seriously, if I'm recruiting for him, aren't I just saying, like, I need a 6'5 dude who can just stroke it, doesn't really have to put it on the floor, be average defensively.
Go get the elite shooter of the class every year, whoever that is.
Every year.
Yeah, I don't know. I hear the same question from Indiana fans. They can't shoot. You know, they were better until they ran into Texas yesterday, but that's a great question. I assume it's because you recruit to who you've won with, and Cal's been able to get high level athletes, but can also shoot the basketball. You know, he hasn't, I don't know. It's a really weird deal. I would think it's like Alabama in football. Why don't they ever have a good kicker? Wouldn't Nick Saban just go in and be like, you're the best kicker, we're the best team, come on down. Like,
exactly. How hard is it?
It's the same thing. I don't get it. I have no idea.
I mean, they watch every year. They're watching AAU. We know who the best shooters are coming out every single year. And again, you've got a lot of the same on this team. Again, you got big, long wings that are athletic, can get to the basket, are great in transition, and they're going to be really good defensively. They're already pretty good.
Yeah, they're already very good.
Right. They're so long. And again, like you said, Isaiah Jackson with Olivier Sarr down low. The key for me, again, I think the key for me on both Duke and Kentucky is, again, Devin Askew, Jeremy Roach. Are either of them going to be upper echelon guys by the end of the year? Neither one are ready now. We see that. We know that. But that's fine. That's fine. They're both freshmen.
I feel like with Duke, I really think that they maybe need some more structure. How many times did you watch that game last night and think, man, Duke just stole an easy basket there?
Yep.
It's contested jump shot. I mean, Matthew Hurt made some really nice plays.
He's
over the top of people. He's making contested shots. I just felt like in both of those games, like, nobody got a back screen for a layup or like a curl for a, I mean, it was all like.
But how much of that was point guard play, Rob?
No, that's totally part of it. But it's also, I think, experience. You know, just the ability to steal points. How can you find a way to get 4 or 6 easy buckets? So then when you
have ISO,
you've got ISO. You've got to work them to you.
Ton of ISOs last night.
It was one on one. It was straight for your man out there. It was not a lot of offensive basketball being run. That's for sure.
Did you like what you saw out of Jalen Johnson?
He was okay. I don't think he was great. He didn't blow me away. What was his line ended up being? It was
11, maybe.
What, yeah,
11.
I mean, he's certainly young. He's certainly talented. But again, you're going up against more experienced guys. And I thought the difference in that game was honestly Michigan State's role guys keeping him in it.
Totally.
He has, I want to say I read this morning that he had a meeting with Coach Izzo about his playing time. And really? You know, he went to him and said, I wasn't happy with my role. Well, he got the opportunity, and props to him for being ready and taking advantage of that and going out there and playing well. But him, Malik Hall, those guys, they gave great minutes off the bench when Michigan State really couldn't score. And they were down big early, but that's what was impressive to me. It wasn't just like Rocket Watts and Aaron Henry. There was other guys really getting it done.
NFL football continues on this week, which has a few surprise teams at the top of the standings. You might not be at a game this year, but you can still be in on the action at BetOnline. The NBA title odds, they're out. The Lakers, the heavy favorites at plus 275. The Bucks, plus 600. How about the Nets with KD and Kyrie at plus 650? No, I don't trust them. Clippers with Kawhi and Paul George, plus 650, even after their earlier exit. Celtics plus 1600. Do not like them with Kemba being out as long as he is to start the year. Sixers plus 2500. Can Doc get them right? No matter how schedules change or players play, BetOnline is going the extra mile to make sure that you can get in on every game this season with the fastest updated odds in the industry. There are always more options to wager than anywhere else. Head to BetOnline today and take advantage of all the great midseason bonuses, offers, and contests. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. So before we preview tonight's games, and we got some good ones tonight, I want to give me your biggest surprise so far. Could be a team, could be anything, player, team, you name it, through the first week or so of the season. What has surprised you?
I'm gonna go Liberty. You know, I think Liberty, they're in the Space Coast Challenge. They beat South Carolina. They beat Mississippi State. They lost a bunch from last year. You know, they were an NCAA tournament team last season.
Top three scorers.
Yeah. And they were really they're one of the stories to me that the pandemic, like, totally screwed.
Yep.
Just like Penn State. Kind of like, I mean, Rutgers at least gets a chance to redeem back.
Yeah.
A lot of guys back. Your coach is still there. Unlike Penn State. But yeah, I think Liberty's my pick. They've gotten off to a great start, 2-1.
I'll go with a team and then an overall. I'll start. The overall is just that this many games have been able to be played. Like I know I was like Mr. Negative going in, or at least everybody was saying I was like Harry Negative.
Yeah,
I wasn't. I'm just reporting the teams were shut down and seen it get worse and worse. And now there's about 35 teams shut down at every one time right now. And the CDC looks like it's going to move.
Yeah, that's big college basketball. 14 to 10 days. That's
be huge. So if they do that, I think you're going to go from 35 at a time. And that may spike here after Thanksgiving. That may go from 35. We may have 45 next week. But afterward, once it settles down, especially when league play starts, I think we may be down to like 20, 25 teams, which is, hey, listen, at least if Duke is playing Michigan State and Kansas is playing Kentucky, nobody gives a shit that George Mason isn't playing, that Alcorn State is shut down, that St. Bonaventure's coming back from their pause. Nobody cares.
I'm going to guess that St. Bonaventure's players would beg to differ with you.
All right, I'm saying the overall college
basketball.
The NCAA. How's that? The NCAA doesn't give a shit.
Right.
It's
about the NCAA tournament. It's about getting there, and it's about getting the marquee games on television.
That's right. That's right. So, all right, my other biggest surprise, team-wise, Louisville. Beat Seton Hall, close one. And then they take care of Western Kentucky convincingly without – key players. I mean, they're down. Malik Williams could be out for months. So they got no veteran big. Samuel Williamson hurt. They're playing Carleek Jones as their best player, a grad transfer from Radford, and he's been terrific. And David Johnson was good against Western Kentucky. So I give Chris Mack credit. He's getting through it now. He's got to get healthy and get Williamson back and Charles Minlin back, the San Francisco transfer, and then maybe they'll have some depth. Biggest disappointment, Rob?
I was going to say Indiana, but then they redeemed themselves today. I mean, I was so surprised. No, I know you're laughing because of the Purdue-Indiana thing. I really was high on them. I had them against Tennessee Tech.
You hate IU. You hate him so much.
I don't hate him. I really don't. Archie Miller recruited me. He's a good dude. Like, it's one of those deals where, like, if you don't like the coach in Indiana as a Purdue player,
yeah,
it might be easier. But I really like Archie. And I really do respect what he's doing. But with the Stanford win today, I'm not going to go Indiana. I'm going to go Northern Iowa. Just because everybody was talking about them as an NCAA tournament team and a team that could, you know, make a run. And they're 0-3. Lose to Utah State. Just because – and really that's surprising because Ben Jacobson's teams are always so solid. Who they're supposed to beat. And they – a lot of times – they go and knock bigger people off because they're so fundamentally sound and they play the right way. So I would say they're a disappointment that they're 0-3, but by no means do I not think that they can turn it around because they're so well coached.
I got two again. I don't know why I'm doing this, but I am. Memphis, number one. You can lose to Western Kentucky. You can't follow it up and lose to a VCU team that's in rebuilding mode, right?
They were very good last year, though, and then you lose pieces. You know?
Yeah, but like they have veterans coming back. I mean, that's the one thing. All their guys last year were freshmen.
Right.
I felt like Boogie Ellis, DJ Jeffries, Damian Waugh, and then you add in Landers Nolly from Virginia Tech. They're still waiting on DeAndre Williams, the Evansville transfer, but. You're digging yourself a hole here, and the AAC isn't strong enough. We're losing UConn. It's not a strong enough league right now that Memphis can be down in non-conference play. Luckily, Houston beat Texas Tech. If that didn't happen,
right,
the league would really be in trouble. Now, the league that's really in trouble is the SEC. Auburn loses to UCF. Mississippi State loses to Clemson and Liberty. Kentucky loses to Richmond. And Kansas, who am I forgetting? Somebody else lost a pretty bad one. I'm trying to think of who else lost a bad one.
Wouldn't be Vandy. Wouldn't be Tennessee.
No, they haven't played yet. Yeah. Tennessee hasn't played yet. LSU lost to St. Louis. Not a bad one at all. St. Louis at St. Louis. No shame in that one whatsoever. But yeah, I mean. That's big. Oh, Alabama loses to Stanford. Not a bad one, but you got to win those.
Yeah, no doubt. Especially with the expectation of this year, where it's Nate Oates is finally, you know, his time to shine. They're looking like a top 25 team coming into the year, and they didn't play like that.
Best win, Rob. The best win for the league: South Carolina over Tulsa so far. That's the best win for the league. Like, you got to get going here, or else you put yourself in an equation where you're like a four bid league.
Yeah,
because you're beating up on teams that haven't done anything.
And the issue with that is that the SEC has made such a commitment to basketball.
That's right.
That's the problem. Like, if it happened 15 years ago, you'd say, well, they care about football, basketball, matter. Now you have coaches in that league that are you know, top tier.
Yep.
And it's not just Kentucky anymore. And Tennessee's going to help that. They're going to be good. You know, Rick
Paul. Yeah, they just haven't played yet, which hurts. Yeah, you know. Yeah.
Right. But no, that's
that hasn't played.
And serious money. Spent by the SEC's schools.
And you worry, you know.
You're recruiting wise. You've gone to the SEC. Right. You know, you look at where all the top guys are going. A lot of them are going to that league.
Yeah, they got good coaches, name coaches. Like you said, Mike Sliv kind of started it before he passed away and put a lot into basketball. I worry about Tennessee and Florida both coming back from quarantines too. Could that hurt two of the teams that we're talking about as maybe saving the league? And again, there's just less inventory now for those two teams in the non-conference. They lost out on some big boy games.
Yeah.
And are they going to get enough?
Yeah. No, I totally agree.
Be interesting. It'll be interesting. All right, let's preview before we wrap here. Let's preview tonight's games. We got some good ones. We'll start West Virginia against number one Gonzaga as part of the Jimmy V and Indy. First of all, are you surprised this game is being played since I believe two Gonzaga players are still in Florida quarantining at this point? Tested positive, one of them, Julian Strother, right before the game, the day of the game. They played Auburn, but hadn't been Auburn. I'm not sure if that game would have been played. But Mark Few and Bruce Pearl and the doctors said, let's march on. And they played. And the good thing is, listen, obviously, for Gonzaga to be playing today, that means nobody has tested positive since then, or at least we don't think. Maybe there'll be more guys that don't come out tonight for the game.
That would be interesting. We have like a super spreader team that's just traveling the country.
We don't need that. We don't
need that. I hope not. That would be awful for the game. I'm really looking at the front court in this game because with West Virginia's bigs, Oscar Tshiebwe, Derek Culver, those dudes are grown men. And with Gonzaga, they have so many pieces that can play a lot of different ways. But I think it'll be interesting to see if you see Drew Timmy at the five and you see Corey Kispert at the four, something's got to give, right?
Like, you do. Yeah.
Something's got to flip the matchup on that. And I always think that's such a fascinating part of the game where it's like, you know, can the smaller guys shoot these big dudes off the court or does West Virginia just pound them on the glass? West Virginia's guards are certainly going to be tested. Jalen Suggs has been so good for Gonzaga. I mean, he is
number one pick. Good.
You hyped him up and you talked about him as good as he is, and
he's better.
He has been better than that. So I will give you props on that. He's been so good. It's going to be a great game. I'm really looking forward, but I think the chess match is what I'm most looking forward to.
What would you do if you're Mark Few? Are you starting big? And if it doesn't work, then you're going small and you're putting Kispert at the four.
I would start small because then I can go big. And with Kispert, like Derek Culver can't really, he can't guard Corey Kispert. There's no way.
No.
And you see it, like this kind of reminds me, we played Kansas in the NCAA tournament my last year, and they're playing Jeff Withey and Thomas Robinson, and we just went small. So I got Thomas Robinson chasing me around. He hasn't guarded a perimeter player all year. Like it's, now we had to block him out, and we were lucky he played probably about as bad as he had. We ended up losing anyway, but like, that's the type of thing. Corey Kispert can get going early, and you can almost shell-shock your opponent. Like, Jeff Withey didn't play the rest of that game.
Really?
They couldn't keep him on the floor. We were playing five guards. We were getting pounded on the glass.
Yeah, that's what I'm afraid of.
I would go Kispert first.
Yeah.
And then if we're getting crushed, we can always go big. We could always do that.
West Virginia's going to have to make shots from the perimeter, Robert.
That has not been their M.O. for about Deshaun Butler.
Miles McBride is going to have to make some shots. And if he can, and Culver's got to show up. Like, that's the other thing. Derek Culver, good Derek Culver is great.
Yeah.
But bad Derek Culver is like he doesn't show up at all.
It's a wide spectrum.
It is a wide, wide spectrum. So, listen, Gonzaga, if you guys are listening, like, they are worth the price of admission, and I know you can't see them in person, but ultimately, like, you got to watch this team. They're so far, they've been about as entertaining a team as we've seen over the last few years, haven't they been, Rob?
I can't think of anybody where I would say they're more. I think after last night's Brickfest, I'm looking forward to somebody making a shot. Like, that's what I'm really looking forward to. I might do cartwheels in my house if somebody shoots over 35% from three.
I don't think Carolina's doing it right now. They got 15 points with 9 minutes left in the first half. So we haven't been watching it, but I guess
anymore. What are we doing?
Hey, how about Shaka's hair, Rob? Shaka never cut his hair again, ever.
I didn't even recognize it. I was shocked.
Isn't it crazy?
He had such a look to him. You know, he looks good with hair, but like I just.
But why do you ever, if you're young, why do you go without hair?
I don't know. I only thought hair. You were losing it. If you're going bald, then you would do it because you look better.
Look at him.
No, he's got plenty of hair.
Unless he did something there, like mixed it in with some Rogaine or Keeps or whatever those things are. I don't know. I'm going to need it.
That reminds me, dude. This is so funny. When I was our player rep for the NBA with the Timberwolves. And we had this meeting in Vegas where they invited everybody in the league to go, and everybody could go for free. They put you up at the Four Seasons inside the Mandalay Bay, and they just wanted you to go. And we elected Michelle Roberts to be the president.
Okay.
So they're interviewing these candidates. I will never forget this. This meeting was a total shit show, like total shit show. And they have three CEOs of companies. One of them who is Michelle Roberts, who ended up winning the popular vote of the player. And there's this guy, I forget what his name was. He was a CEO of a company, and Josh Smith literally rings in. It was like we were at the UN. Like, you could press a button and like you could like talk into the microphone.
No way.
Josh Smith rings in, and he literally says to this dude, he goes, "Yo, is that Beijing in your hair?" And Beijing is like the Carlos Boozer stuff that he used to put like paint on his head. This is like a CEO of a Fortune 500 company. And Josh Smith asked him. It was, dude, Paul Pierce like asked if we could start our own league with like the money of the Players Association. It was hilarious. Like people were, it was a total clown show. But then we elected Michelle Roberts and it was.
Can the Guinness Book of World Records give 2020 world's greatest delay of game? Even though sports had a break, your business didn't. You have to keep moving, and that makes hiring even more important than ever. Indeed is here to help. Indeed.com is the number one job site in the world because Indeed gets you the best people, and they do it fast. Unlike other sites, Indeed gives you full control and payment flexibility over your hiring. You only pay for what you need. You can pause your account at any time, and there are no long-term contracts. Plus, Indeed provides powerful tools to make your search that much easier, like sponsored jobs, which are shown to be 3.5 times more likely to result in a hire. With 73% of online job seekers visiting Indeed each month, Indeed is going to get you the important hire you need, just like they have for over 3 million businesses. Right now, Indeed is offering our listeners a free $75 credit to boost your job post, which means more quality candidates will see it, and they'll see it fast. Try Indeed out with a free $75 credit at Indeed.com/good. This is their best offer anywhere. Go right now to Indeed.com/good. Terms and conditions apply. Offer valid through December 31st. Did I ever tell you the time a few years ago I had a host at Mohegan Sun? I was just there, actually, and in the room where I had to do this, I had a host. Have you ever had to host those things when they have the events?
Oh, like an event?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I had to host it. And the group was like Coach K, it was Duke, it was Danny Hurley, it was Will Brown of Albany, a bunch of dudes. And I'm like, you know me. I'm like, I'm not going to have this be boring as shit. I've sat through these things before, and these kids are so bored. Right. I'm like, I'm going to spice it up a little bit, right? So you bring up four at a time. And first one I did was with Dan Hurley. I got him going. I knew he was a big Cincinnati Bengals fan. So I basically forced him to do the Icky Shuffle. Remember Icky Woods?
Yeah, I'm shocked he's a Bengals fan.
Yeah, big Bengals fan. So literally have the video still, or somebody has it, of him doing the Icky Shuffle. Didn't want to do it, but he did it. And I'm like ripping on everybody. I'm having fun. I think I'm ripping on Mick Cronin was there, killing Mick for something. And then it gets around to Coach K. And everybody's like, all right, what's he going to do? And I had just come Oklahoma City, right? It was KD was with Oklahoma City at that point. They were playing the Celtics that night. I had gone to shoot around first and talked to KD, who I've known since he was like 14. And we were talking. I was telling him I wasn't going to be at the game because I was going to host this thing where K was at. And so I said to K, I said, hey, you know, I just saw your guy, KD, you know, from the Olympic team. And, man, he was raving about you. And we were also talking about, you know, how crazy it is that you don't have any gray hair. And KD said, it's because you color it. Man, the look I got from Coach K was like ferocious. Like he wanted to jump across and beat the crap out of me. And I have people coming up after, and I won't say who.
And he's hard to make sense.
Part of the Duke camp, they came up to me and they're like, you shouldn't have done that. You should not have done that. I'm like, come on, it was funny. Yeah, it was funny, but yeah, we're hot and cold.
What's that?
We're hot and cold. Like we're fine. I mean, it is what it is. I'm not going to kiss anybody's ass.
Yeah, right.
Like,
that's honestly, to me, that's payback because I visited Duke and this is hilarious. Chris Collins have been like sending me like some like handwritten letters and stuff, and I was like, okay, they're recruiting me. Like, this is great. Like, I have offers from a lot of the Big Ten, and I had an offer from UNC Charlotte. So I went down and visited them with Bobby Lutz, and I visited NC State. I really liked Herb Sendak, and they had like Mark Phelps and Archie was there.
Yeah.
So I go over to Duke because we're there. I've been getting mail. So I'm like, yeah, they're recruiting me. And I go to the scrimmage. And after the scrimmage, I mean, it was like Reddick and Sheldon Williams and Jonathan Roberts. They were good. They were really good. And I'm sitting there afterwards, and Chris Collins comes up, and he's like, hey, coach wants to come talk to you. You know, hang tight. He'll be right there. So he comes over, and Coach Krzyzewski comes over to me, and he goes, Robbie, thank you so much for coming all the way from California. It means so much. I was like, God damn it. These dudes aren't – they don't even know where I'm from. Like, this is not good. So then it wasn't really recruiting. So I'm glad you did that. Payback.
All right. Well, that's good. That's good. I appreciate that. All right. Last game, we'll talk about maybe the best game, to be honest. Maybe the best game in the last 2 days, 48 hours.
I think it could be the best game of the year.
Wow. Look at you.
I do.
Illinois-Baylor. Like, where does this go? I mean, Is Illinois for real, Rob? As a like they struggled against Jason Preston in Ohio.
That's going to be the biggest thing for them. Their pick and roll defense has got to be better. Jason Preston was doing whatever he wanted, shooting threes, getting to the basket, picking pops for other people, getting their bigs involved. It was not good. And with Baylor, you are going to see pick and roll after pick and roll after pick and roll with Jared Butler. And he's got shooters around him. Yep. He's got experience around him. Illinois is going to have to really be on their stuff with their pick and roll defense tonight. Because if they're not, Baylor's going to put up 90 points. And they are going to absolutely just rampage through Illinois' defense.
Are you trusting Adam Miller yet? Are you trusting the young guys from Illinois? Or is this a big moment?
I really like him, but I think it's always different your first big-time college game. And there's no fans, like, which is going to maybe play probably – I guess it could go either way. You know, you could get hyped off that. You could crumble off that, whatever. But I don't trust him until I've seen it against somebody good.
Curbelo, also, I mean, they got two key guys as freshmen.
I think also on the interior, Flo Thamba and Kofi Coburn is really going to be interesting. Thamba was like their third or fourth big last year, and Tristan Clark retires. You lose Freddie Gillespie. That's going to be interesting. There's a lot of interesting matchups here.
Oh,
Davion Mitchell is like, that's as good as it gets, right?
Can he hang with Io? Can he keep up with Io? Can anybody keep up with Io?
He has such a burst. You know, it's going to be really fun to watch. I'm really excited. I wish it didn't start at 10 p.m. or whatever time it does. But
you going to make it? You are old.
Well, it's 10 Eastern, 9 Central. I'll be fine.
You're going to make it? Who are you picking tonight? Tonight's games. Give me a pick on both. West Virginia, Gonzaga.
I'm going Gonzaga.
Yeah,
and I'm going Baylor.
Yeah, I think I am too, but I think both will be close.
I think the Baylor Illinois game will be a great game. I really like Illinois. I think they're going to win,
especially because it's going to be hopefully like this.
I just think Baylor has so many pieces back.
Can you play Kofi in this like, I know you can play him, but are you better without Kofi potentially? Because, again, Baylor can get up and down, and they can really expose Kofi defensively.
Yeah, they certainly – he was not great in pick and roll against Ohio. I think you have to play him if you're going to win, though. You have to be able to find a way to utilize his size. Because I don't think Flo Thamba is – he's not the most physical.
No.
By any,
if you're playing with them,
Illinois has to make a concerted effort to throw the ball into it. And don't always forget. Not that they don't forget about them. They're just they want to shoot. They don't want to throw the ball to the big dudes. But I think in order for Illinois to win this game, you have got to throw the ball inside, and you've got to establish him in the first 4 minutes, just so that Baylor doesn't think this is going to become a track meet. There's got to be some semblance of some post entries from Illinois early in this game.
You know what the nice part will be? That game, not only are you saying it might be the best game of the year, it should be well played even early.
Definitely.
Because you've got veterans. You've got veterans on both sides and really good guards.
Yeah.
That to me, that's what last night was missing. That's what Carolina right now has scored 20 points through the first 15 minutes. Why, Rob? Because they got freshman guards. You got freshman guards all over the place.
Yep. Now experience is going to be huge. And that's what makes that Illinois-Baylor game so appealing, because you have 8 or 9 guys on the floor at all times who have played at least a year of college basketball.
What do you got next, Rob? What's your next game?
I've got Michigan State. I got Illinois on Saturday, Michigan State Sunday. I don't know.
Bye games or good games? Are they bye games?
Bye games. They're BTN. They're Big Ten Network games. Once we get into conference play, those will be
better.
It'll be good. So,
all right. Well, listen, have a good night. Drink some, you know, coffee or something to stay up.
Stay awake.
I know you're getting older. But that game, hey, listen, if that game's close, we'll have no trouble staying up for
– No, I just want to see somebody make a shot.
That's your boy anyway. That's Scott Drew against a Big Ten team. Like, if you can't stay up for Scott Drew – as the number 2 team in the country, that's your guy.
It is. Bob, Indiana, baby. I got it.
Have a good one.
All right. Sounds good, dude.
Talk soon. Later. Yeah.